Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 466 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh. Cheesy, what's going on, dude?
What's going on, Cheese Curds?
Crawler.
Hey, how's it going? Crawler coming at you. And just for Cheesy.
Oh, man.
I listened to your episode. Yep.
Yeah, you did. So for anyone that doesn't know, on last week's communication or this week's communication error, I was talking about how I haven't beat Ocarina of Time, and my like only time like playing it was for the 3DS, and Navi is just so triggering to me and my wife. Like, it's just it's so annoying, and there's part of me that's like, I need to go and beat this game because I've never beat it before, and then there's another part of me that's like, but do I have to listen to Navi?
Just turn the volume down,
I guess.
But she stops your gameplay all the time, which is frustrating.
Yeah, interesting. I've always loved it. It's always been, anytime I hear it, I'm like, oh, Ocarina. Like, that's so interesting. It's always been one of those sounds. And like, I even see like Nintendo's selling a shirt right now that has Navi on it. I think it says, "Hey, listen," just like where the pocket should be or something like that. And I'm like, I want to get that one. Like, so that's. That's interesting. That's so interesting. I wonder if it's because of, well, I mean, it's a whole topic we could discuss, but like coming into some of those games like later, right? That like when you didn't experience them the first time, and it's like different tropes and things that were probably annoying in games that we just didn't even notice because it was like, well, this is just the norm, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, she got annoying in the time, like, telling you to do something five times when you're like, I know what I need to go do. I just want to explore.
Well, maybe, but maybe Josh is right, because that was the first time that we had a 3D Zelda that you didn't know what to expect or how the game was going to work. I mean, you probably had a good idea of what you needed to do, but it was just a new experience and maybe you were just along for the ride.
Yeah. It's like, I'm lost in the woods. I'm trying to figure this out, and you're just yelling at me.
There were definitely those moments. There's no question. Those moments of like, yo, how many times are you going to say, hey, listen, like, I remember. I do recall. So, I just realized we're not on the right video. Hopefully people make it in, like, on YouTube, but whatever. It is what it is. So, before we jump into this, guys, I want to let you know One Shot Energy's got new flavors coming out. One of them is cherry. So, and I think it's with the Focus Chews. I don't know. They're very cryptic with their tweets, so I'm not entirely sure what's being released yet. But there's a cherry flavor for the Focus Chews. I just literally ate two of the orange mango. They're my favorites. So if you guys want to pick some up, you can use code N64Josh to save 10% on your order at oneshotenergy.com. And I have started writing my second book, which is all about, I'm not going to spoil it, but it is essentially a sequel to Another Castle. And if you've never picked that up before, you can go to n64josh.com/audible and get it for free if you've never signed up for Audible before. And then if you want a physical copy, you can go to n64josh.com/anothercastle and pick it up from Amazon there. So, Cheesy, before we jump into this, you already mentioned communication error, but like, where can people, connect with you and then check out that show as well?
Yeah. So definitely check out communication error. We just had our 50th episode and we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. You can find me on TikTok, on Twitter, on Instagram, Communication Error Podcast, CheezyC64, CHEEZYC 64.
And Crawler, how about you?
Best spots are TikTok and Twitter. Nightcrawler 724. Nightcrawler is without the E.
There we go. All right. Well, guys, of course, you can find me everywhere at N64Josh and streaming every day at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And TikTok has become a party, you guys. So come and hang out and get some races in. It is this week. I have had some of the craziest finishes I've ever had in Mario Kart. And some of them are like absolutely hilarious where like I got triple greens around me and I'm just edging ever closer to somebody, Alex in the, who races with us all the time, and eventually just falls off the bridge on DK, on DK Mountain or whatever. And
I saw that
laughing so hard, like so hard. He was on the receiving end of one of my red shells, and that was right at the finish line on Big Blue. And so just been having a ton of fun racing and chatting with the Kart Club and doing we had a new episode of The Dirt came out this week with a streamer named Hats and Glasses, who I randomly found on TikTok one night, and that was a really fun episode to record. And just finding lots of community over on TikTok in the Mario Kart scene. And it's not all Mario Kart 8. There's a lot of Mario Kart Wii streamers and all that kind of stuff. So it's a good time. And I see a bunch of the people that have started hanging out over on TikTok have made it into the live stream as well. So welcome on in, everybody. So good to see you guys. And we got the beginning of the show now. We want to start talking about the things that we've been playing. And if you guys are watching the video, you're seeing Berserk Boy. And I think Johnny picked it up, but he's not here tonight, unfortunately. This was a recommendation from Nady Nay.
To be honest, Johnny hasn't had time to play anything this week. So
that's true. Yeah, he probably never touched it. But if you are I liked Mega Man as a kid. Right. Like it was fine. Like I remember I played it most surprisingly, not on the NES, but on the Game Boy, where I really fell in love with the Mega Man series. That was Mega Man X on the Super Nintendo. And I don't know about you guys, but when you look back on your gaming collection as a kid, do you have any games that were just in your collection, but you have no recollection of actually purchasing them? And you're like, I don't know where this came from.
I didn't purchase anything back in the day. Like it was Christmas and birthday.
Well, I'm okay. So a couple instances, like I can remember when we went to this is a super old store from the 80s called like Pay and Save. Right. And I don't even know if it was a chain or what, but like I remember getting Excitebike. I remember getting Tetris. Right. They're just different games. Mega Man X. No idea how I ended up with this game in my collection. Right. And there's a few others that are the same way, like Link's Awakening. Like it's mostly Super Nintendo games. So I don't know if I like borrowed them from friends and never returned them
or what.
I mean, potentially like or there may have been trades that took place and I don't remember. But that was one in particular, Mega Man X. That's where I really fell in love with the Mega Man series. And Berserk Boy is, you know how Time Splitters was heir apparent to GoldenEye? It is heir apparent to Mega Man X. It's like all of the like kind of the cool character design and everything that they added to that game, this one ramps up to like the next level. And the gameplay is different. You're not shooting pellets. It's more like a brawler almost. It's more melee stuff. And as you can see, like I'm doing a battle right now where it's like I'm trapped in this room with different enemies spawning in.
Which that happened with Mega Man though.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like it's very much some Mega Man vibes here, but it's, you know, you're not just mashing like your melee button, like a typical beat 'em up, like let's say like the Turtles games or, you know, the Double Dragon Final Fight, that kind of stuff. It's more about like your movement and like you hit an enemy and then tap B and then like you kind of put out this burst of energy and that takes them out. And the just like the traversal of the levels and stuff is so like fluid. Like the game just runs very smooth. And
does your dash reset when you hit an enemy, or
it does? Yeah. Me, and I think you'll see it in a couple places, but it does reset once you hit an enemy, and then you can keep it going. So it a lot, like right here, I think I die in this section, but then when the next time I rerun it, the dash came back, but I think I hit that one right there. But the next time I do it, it's just boom boom boom, I just flew right through the thing. And I don't know, I had Hoffman said that's fake Mega Man. Mega Man game by Sonic Team Vibes. Ooh, there you go. Okay. Cryptic says Mega Man X was Sega for cool kids, and OG Mega Man was something. I don't know. Maybe chat knows.
I think you were talking about this last week, right?
We talked about this game last week from Nate talking, you know, Nate brought it up, but and Aaron. And I think Johnny mentioned the 20 or 30XX was the one that he was also saying was pretty good and very Mega Man like, but that one's a roguelike, where this one is more, I haven't got to a point yet where like I think like this stage is like the fire boss, and so I'm gonna probably end up getting a fire move of some kind. And so
Is it like Mega Man in that aspect where you absorb the boss's power?
So you're seeing me right now in like, I think this is the Berserk mode where you're like in purple. But if you hit Y or X, when you hit X, you go like back into your street clothes. But there's a whole wheel that opens up where I think you're going to be able to change powers to different, elements and stuff. So where this one kind of seems like electricity, I'm assuming there's going to be fire. And there's like on the thumbnail of the video, you can kind of see what I assume are the different bosses. And so I'm looking forward to checking that out. But there's also like cool exploration. You see, I'm going backwards right now, just trying to see if maybe I missed something. Cause there's one of the things you're trying to do in each level is teleport survivors or whatever, or like back to the base. And I think I only found like two, but like in the first stage, when you play it, you have to find like at least 60% before you can open a door to be able to exit. So it kind of, you know, you've got to do some exploration, and your checkpoints are also teleporters. So you can go back to different areas. So you get a little bit of like Metroidvania going on. It's not quite as like linear as maybe Mega Man. It's not like an open, you're not going to explore everywhere, but there are elements of exploration, I would say. So and here's another like this is kind of like a mini boss or whatever, and I fought one in the first stage that instead of having green flames, it was just red flames or whatever, and it moved a little bit different, so it's not quite the same patterns for this one. But it's just one of those games, like you figure out the patterns, you know, and then you start to all of a sudden you're moving, you know, way faster. And like I even realized like halfway through this one, as he started to like drop down real quick, that I could hit him. Like it was, I had to do it like almost pixel perfect, right? Cause he was moving so quickly. But that was the way I ended up finishing him off, like right here. There's not a lot of time to get those hits in. He was on his way out, and that finished him off, right? And it's just those moments are like really, really cool. So let's see. Turn-based dragon said that is the Berserk Boy is the second best game I've played this year. So there you go.
How much is this going on eShop?
$20. Yeah, it's I just, when I was grabbing the thumbnail, it said in stock. It's a digital game. $20. So I think it was on sale initially, so I think I got it for like 16, and I'm having a good time with it. And I think I'm gonna reach out to these guys on Twitter and see if we can get them to come on. The music, though, I want to mention the music, because that's something Nate brought up too. The music is really good. I can give you guys a small taste of it right here. Let's see. It's very retro. very Mega Man, but then when you complete a level, which I think I do right here, the music changes to like almost like heavy metal. And oh, there's a little ways more to go, but anyway, it there's some really rocking guitars and stuff. It has a very modern retro feel to it, and you have two difficulties as well. You can play modern, which gives you unlimited lives and like the enemies aren't quite as difficult, or you can play retro where you have a limited number of lives and the enemies are all harder.
That confirms Brian's point from last week. We're all soft now.
We're all soft. Here's the metal music. I cleared the stage.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Kind of hear some electric guitar in the background, and if I back it up, here we go. I think
it reminds me a little bit. It's a Capcom game. I have it.
You can hear the squealing guitars and stuff. So it's done very well. So I want to try to reach out to them, see if we can't get some interviews with them, because I think it would be cool. You were saying sure. That Capcom game.
I'm going into my library. I don't know if the tile is going to be on this Switch, since this is my newer Switch.
That's pretty cool. It has that old school feel, that's for sure. So
how long did you play it, Josh?
So what you're seeing is the second stage. So I played some, I wanted to make sure I spent time with it. And so I did the first stage last night, and then this stage here, and that stage is about 15 minutes worth of gameplay. And so you can take it in little bite-sized chunks if you want. And it just felt good. It felt really good. And I want to keep going. I want to see what these bosses are. I want to see what the different elements are and how things change. I'm curious if it's going to be all melee or if some of them are going to have projectiles and how it's going to play out. And the pixel art's phenomenal. Like that's probably one of the biggest things that like all of a sudden it made me want to like pick up the like Shredder's Revenge again and play some of that. And, you know, just some of those, the old school pixel art games. It just, this is like, there's a lot of love that went into this, and you can tell they were huge, huge fans of the Mega Man series. And just, it also has kind of a, you know, the chat was mentioning like Sega, it kind of has the, I don't know if you guys ever played Gunstar Heroes, but it kind of has that feel to it also, which I believe is on Nintendo Switch Online if you have the expansion pack and have the Sega games. And that was almost like Sega's answer to Contra in a way, but it looked kind of similar to this and was a fantastic game. Like you'd have different gun power-ups, so where like your gun could do two power-ups at a time. So like it would have tracking and then like machine gun also. So it would like your gun would always just be looking like a Ghostbusters their beams or whatever, because it would just be tracking all the enemies all over the place. And that just, I don't know, it was just a good time. So Cryptic saying Mighty Gunvolt Burst is a hidden gem Mega Man game as well. Absolutely. Yeah, I have those on my
Mighty Gunvolt. That's what I was trying to remember, but that's what I was thinking.
That's the one. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, then there's because it wasn't just Mighty Number 9 was the other one, but that one kind of fell flat, if I remember correct. Like it didn't mm-hmm. deliver like everybody was hoping it would, if I remember correct. So but yeah, this has been great though. But Crawler, what about you? What have you been playing this any gems or anything fun, or has it been working on the backlog? What have you been up to?
A little bit of Prince of Persia, because we talked about that last week. More with Cheesy talking about Hades and Hades 2 on the horizon. I got back. I did not play a ton of Hades 1 originally. So I've been doing runs on that. I've gotten up to the Minotaur or whatever, the duo fight. Have not made it past, I made it past that fight once or twice, I think, but not up to Hades yet. So just kind of progressing that story and unlocking more things at the mirror and doing that. And then I've hopped into pipe trials a little bit this week as well, starting putting some times up in the Discord.
Does it have you excited for Hades 2?
Yeah, I mean, Hades is kind of punishing. Like, if you only get a certain number of chances, like, there's some upgrades that, like, you can get more health from the replenishing pools when you do come across them. But, like, there are some punishing kind of... If you're dead, and then there's been times where I've like used my second chance or whatever, and there's a chance to replenish the second chance, but I've never had the 200 gold or whatever I need that run to replenish it. So that would be nice. And as you progress, like, I think the first fight with Meg is kind of one of the tougher fights compared to the Hydra. But it also changes depending on your weapon. Like, you fight her sisters a little bit later as well. So that fight gets progressive. I mean, it's just with time, everything gets a little bit easier and better and you're stronger, and it depends on your weapon. I've been unlocking, I think I have most of the weapons unlocked now. But the synergy, and that's what the nice thing is, like, the synergy that comes with the different power-ups from the different gods and stuff can really change how a run plays. So yeah, it's all that roguelite stuff.
Yeah, I mean, kind of what I was telling you guys before the show is, like, this is a game that I can't stop playing, even though it's, what, 2 years old at this point, but I'm also just excited for Hades 2. But at the same time, it's really weird because I'm not the type of person that has a backlog. I don't usually like to watch a show more than once unless it's like I'm having a bad day. I want to put something on that I know and that's kind of comforting.
The Office can do that for everybody, right?
Yeah, The Office, Community, Arrested Development. Those are my kind of shows. But like, I feel like I'm limiting myself from playing games that are out this year or games that I haven't played yet, like Ocarina of Time. I've played that one. I just haven't beat it. And it's a weird feeling because I'm just like, I just want to play another run of Hades. And what's so fun about that game is no matter how many hours I've put into it, I still am discovering new things. I'm discovering new story arcs. And that's kind of what just keeps me going. Is just, it's so easy to go for another run because there's just something else that you might discover in the next time that you fail that run. And it's so rewarding in that way. Like, there's a lot of roguelikes, I think, that once you die, it's just like, okay, do it again. But this one is, if you die, that might be okay because you're learning more about the people around you and what you might discover. And then you just go back into it. It's so addicting.
Yep.
I know exactly what you're saying, too, about, like, I've been doing that with Mario Kart this week. It's 10 years old. And I'm like, oh, this is my new, like, coming up with new lines on tracks that, like, I've been racing a certain way forever. And it's like, and some of them are like crazy big shortcuts that you don't even need a mushroom for. And it's just like, this is, I don't know. It makes the game feel fresh and new again. And like, I get it. Even though it's, you know, 2 years old, like you're still just going strong. And that, I mean, that's also the sign of a good game too, right? At least if it's if you're into it. So I told you guys starting this, like, we might end up doing like a spoiler cast for Hades before, when's the second one come out?
They haven't said yet.
Okay, so we got time then. So it's on my Switch. I've never even turned it on. So I'm stating it here now. What should we pick a date so that it had, like, I have to play it? Like, should we shoot for like the beat, like like middle of May, like a month from right now. Is that enough time?
That should be enough.
Yeah, I think that's good. Okay. The only thing that worries me about it for you is that there is a lot of dialogue, but the good thing is that it's got voice acting. Mm-hmm. So that might help. Okay. That, I know you have a problem with reading, but if somebody is speaking, you should be okay.
Here we go. Here we go. Oh, my goodness. I will say this because that just reminded me the way chat ended tonight or the stream ended tonight. I ended it a little bit. We didn't go as long as I typically do because I started later. So we still ended at the same time. And the stream ended with everybody putting dinosaurs and bedtime into the chat. So it was pretty good. Pretty good stuff there. So, yeah. Cheesy's quote of the year. Josh can't read. Perfect. Yeah, that's
the know, and it's funny, too. I as soon as I was done joking about that, like I know we've joked about it before. But I don't even like joking about it because I had problems reading as a kid. And so I would hear that stuff all the time. So I don't know. I guess it's just nice to know I'm not alone. But
I think some of it's like the beginning of games. A lot of it's tutorials, right?
Yeah,
and like, and then sometimes they mix it in like Xenoblade. And I was like, wait, how do you build an orb?
And that's what leads to Josh attacking a wall for a day and a half.
For four streams. I'm not strong enough yet. Let me go level up some more so I can just muscle through, you know? So
I think what's really interesting about, you know, we're just commenting that we're playing games that are years old at this point. And then you had a ton of people that went to play some 3DS games or Wii U games just in this past week just to experience that online before they shut it off. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool to see, just because you saw a lot of people that were wanting to get that last hit of nostalgia, I guess, and kind of relive those days of what it was like playing on their 3DS or Wii U. But now, I mean, you can still play on them. You just can't use the online function. And it's a bummer, especially when we do have a slower year for Nintendo. I know Johnny's going to love hearing that, but it's true. It's a slow year. And there's not really a lot that you can play right now unless you go back and play some of the games on NSO that maybe you haven't played. Or, I mean, that's really it. There's not really a great library of games other than NSO.
Yeah, I logged into my Wii U just to make sure Chronicles X was still there and working, and it was. So I'm good there. I just need to set aside a lot of time to beat that game.
Johnny's in the YouTube chat and says, ha.
I'm supposed to be working right now. What the heck? What a liar.
He's gonna jump in just so he can be like, I told you.
Yeah, he's playing hooky right now.
That is funny. I love
it. I mean, I can admit that it is a slow year, but doesn't mean that we know the rest of what's gonna happen this year. We don't. But it is slow.
We don't. It is It is a little bit slow, that's for sure. Turn-based Dragon Slam, we just got three more NSO Super Nintendo games today. We did. Two of them were Japanese only, I believe. Wrecking Crew 98, which I was racking my brain because I'm like, I was a pretty big fan of Wrecking Crew, and I thought I would have known if a sequel came out. Well, it was Japanese only. Super R-Type, though, was an arcade game that made its way over to the Super Nintendo, and that is one that I'm honestly a little surprised to see it. They got the licensing for it. Very, very glad they did. And go check that out. If you've never experienced it, I mean, it's a very like classic style, like arcade game. So just keep that in mind. But it was just one of those games that when you got a game like that at home, you were like, yo, the arcade is in my house finally. And that was that was something back then. So
was Killer Instinct and Battletoads in the last NSO update?
That's on here now, yes. Too. Yeah, yeah. Well, there's like, wasn't there three rare games? The like Blast Corps, Battletoads, and Killer Instinct. There might have been a fourth one as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah, it was a big rare drop, and we were like, "Where's Rare Replay?" That's right.
Yeah, RC Pro-Am was the other one, I believe. So,
and then there's some Japanese title from Sunsoft that I have no idea what it is.
It's a fighting game that looks like almost looks like you're playing as a Fall Guys character. From the video that Nintendo.
Yeah, one's dressed up in a penguin suit, one's dressed up in a cat suit, and then there's who knows what else.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean it could be one that we should try at some point, because it looked like just kind of like just chaos on, you know, in the ring. So and it honestly kind of reminded me of like an indie game from seeing it. And we were kind of discussing prior to the show, like Prince of Persia came out as a 2D, almost looking like an indie game, right? Like more of a bite size, not this triple A, like 3D, you know, third person adventure with, you know, action RPG, you know, RPG elements, as Brian always says, right? Whatever the long list of description words for the modern games, but we're seeing these like, you know, games that like even Metroid Dread, like kind of look like it could have been from an indie studio, right? Like that modern 2D side scroller, and, you know, Prince of Persia, Metroid, but then Prince of Persia has another game coming out that's a roguelite. And it kind of made me ask the question, like, are we going to see large studios start to put out more of these bite-size games because they have a lesser budget, but they can use known IP to hopefully get sales? And the, you know, the rumblings online this last week were about Dead Space 2 being canceled by EA. Yep. Because
did it actually get canceled, or was that just a rumor?
According to Jeff Grubb, he's like, you can believe what you want, but it looks like EA PR speech, and the game is not happening, you know. And a lot of times he's one of those insiders that has like, you know, he's pretty on point most of the time. So, and then, yeah, Nate's even bringing up too the pricing for that Star Wars game that
ridiculous.
Is like, it's tough. It's a
and the tweet that was gaining traction from that is like, all I have to do is wait a couple months and this all of this will be $20.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, I love Star Wars games and I want to play it, but yeah, I'm not gonna shell out $120 or whatever just to play it. First off, the article I was reading was like, is it worth buying a game day one, 3 days early, when games have not shipped well, mm-hmm. to begin with? Like, are you going to have an enjoyable experience in that 3 days early period?
Well, and I don't know if it was, I think it was Bob Wolf, but maybe it was somebody else that was saying that, why are you punishing your biggest fans for those that want to get it day one, but you have to pay extra just to get it 3 days early? Like, your biggest supporters are going to be the ones that are talking about it day one, and now you're monetizing it and putting it behind a paywall. That's ridiculous.
It's they're testing the waters of the Star Wars like IP, right? Trying to flex that muscle essentially, but I don't think people are buying it. Like,
but then they're going to argue like, oh, nobody likes Star Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean, and that's the other discourse around that game is just like, you know, people are crazy anymore. Like, it's just like you're people have a hard time just liking things, I think. And so it's but again, $17 a month to rent it so that you can play it, you know, day one, and then you're going to purchase the DLC for it, like with their, with, you know, Ubi's version of Game Pass. I just, are there enough Ubisoft titles to justify $17.95
Now, when you can get them on discount 3 months later,
you could buy all of them for $17.95 No, I'm just kidding. But like,
hey, if Star Wars 1313 was included with that price, maybe.
That'd be interesting.
Off that was making 1313.
I thought it was EA, but I don't have it in front of me. I thought it was an EA title, but it could have been Ubi. Anyway, like the kind of what we were talking about though is like, are we gonna see, and chat, you guys can answer as well, like, are we gonna see more indie style games? Because we talked about it last week, how like our indies are, like, indies are kind of carrying right now, and AAA doesn't seem to know what to do anymore. And I think you got to remember, we like, we're a bit of an older generation now, right? And I'm gonna bring you in, Cheesy, with the older generation.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna say anything. I didn't like that.
But I know you didn't. But my point here is that like, we are very used to the like, purchase a game, the physical game, which we're gonna talk about in a little bit, and then. I know, even Nate, but I mean, this is including probably most of you guys in the chat, and most of you guys, I mean, I know the demographics for who's listening to this. So this is including pretty much all of us. The younger generation's not playing games like we did. They're playing Fortnite. They're playing Call of Duty. We just, you know, Crawler was getting sketch clips ahead of time. He's playing Madden and Rainbow Six, but even Rainbow Six is more of a games as a service, right? And like, one of our topics in a little bit here is, there's statistics that came out this week that only 5% of game sales from 2023 were physical games. So, and you have to think the majority of that money is being spent like in games like Fortnite, Call of Duty, League of Legends. You know, a lot of these games as a service, and it leaves these big studios going, what do we do? You have, I mean, where do we put Helldivers? Is kind of more of an indie game that just looks really, really good, right?
That had the backing from a larger studio, like published by a larger studio. I mean, in that same vein, I was listening to the Kind of Funny Crew on, I don't know which of their podcasts, but they were talking about the fact that like the top games that were played last year, like the top six or seven were all games that were like older than five or six mm-hmm. years old. I mean, you think about it, Fortnite, League and Dota and Counter-Strike and Overwatch. I mean, Overwatch 2 is newer, but I don't even know where that's falling right now. Valorant is getting up there at 5-6 years old now.
Rocket League.
Rocket League. I mean, it's all just, and these companies are wanting to, like what we talked about last week, like WB just wanting to sheer force their way into that market. And it's like, you can't make everything that, like, or Destiny, even Destiny's getting up. Destiny's getting ready to have their last update or whatever, I think, right? But I know very little about Destiny, and that's all I played for like 6 years.
Same here.
And Destiny 2 kicked my habit after, I mean, the game just got not as fun as it was. And, I missed out on like Fallout 4 and I don't even know what else that came out around that time that I picked up. It's in my collection somewhere, but I didn't play it because Destiny was a job at that point. So like, you can't have all of these in the market. Can't be that, like, you have to be happy with the demographic you pull and know that people are, there's the diehards that are going to do it day in, day out, play it like a job. But then there's also going to be the people that come in and do your bite-sized pieces, and you got to be happy with what you get. And if you can do a big enough event then you can pull some people in. But like, even the Ghostbuster stuff wasn't enough to pull me back into Destiny. I'm totally lost if I go back into that right now. And like, I'm not playing Fortnite as much as I was last season, this season, but I have the crew pack. So if like, and the nice thing about like the weekly stuff is in Fortnite is like, you can go in there and you can level up a ton. Like, I know you kind of do a strong push kind of the last month of the battle pass usually, Josh, and you kind of get kind of a lot of stuff done, but it's tough. Like, we can't have all these titles cannot be everything, but that's what the execs and the stockholders want. But having a game just like that works out of the box would be nice, and it doesn't always happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to answer your question, Josh, I thought that we were going to see a lot more after Cadence of Hyrule. And then even, you know, a few years later, we saw Castlevania or Dead Cells Castlevania. So it did kind of seem like it was going in that direction, and maybe it still is. But like, when you look at Prince of Persia, the Rogue, that looks like a really cool game, but it doesn't look like a lot of people are buying the Prince of Persia. What was it called? The Lost Crown?
Lost Crown.
Yeah. Which is a fantastic game. Like, so many people are missing out on that game. But kind of like what you said, it's all live service, and not all live service is doing well. You know, you definitely have the exception to the rule. But at the same time, like, our indies, I hope that we're going into a direction where people are excited to play indie games, but there are people that still just see them as these 2D 16-bit pixelated game that looks the same as the last indie game, but they're not even giving it a chance to realize how different it is. Like, there was a tweet just a couple days ago that was like, I think Johnny put it in the Discord, that was like, you guys say that you want new games, but yet you didn't buy Pepper Grinder, so I don't believe any of you. And that is a new experience. And it's, I mean, I don't know what's going to help at this point.
The same guy that tweeted out the 5% of physical game sales, like, you know, one of our other topics that we're kind of moving towards, tweeted out, "You guys all say you want good games, but I know most of you didn't buy Pepper Grinder."
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and even myself, I mean, looking at my habits, you know, I'm playing a little bit of Tears of the Kingdom here and there, like, but like, I don't just play games for, games are being played now for community building, right? Like, that's for the majority of my game time, which is why it's Mario Kart. And I couldn't be having more fun. I'm not upset about that. Like, my face hurts from smiling so much. Like, I'm having the time of my life playing Mario Kart with the community. And you know, it's just amazing. It looks like we're getting raided right now too. Welcome on in, Raiders. So glad you guys are here. The thing that I wonder is just like, do we see companies like, you know, EA has kind of, they, it's almost like they dip their toes in the water with this stuff. When you think about games like Unraveled 1 and 2, you know, and some of these other titles that they started kind of publishing, you know, I mean, remember, like, I don't know where Bugsnax came from, but like, that was kind of
and that's getting a sequel.
Yeah. So, I mean,
and that was a PS5 included with PlayStation Plus or whatever initially, before PlayStation Plus got rebranded to confusing tiers. But that was one of the first PS5 games to be given out for free to PlayStation subscribers.
Yeah. And so, I just wonder if we don't, you know, and Nate makes a good point. He's like, I played Prince of Persia, but I don't trust Ubisoft. So that's why he didn't, you know, he didn't pull the trigger on it. He's just a skeptic of Ubisoft, because, I mean, look, the game's half, well, I guess it came out at 50. So it's $20 off right now everywhere. And so, like, is that the play though? Did they charge too much for Prince of Persia? If Prince of Persia had come out at $30, would it, and if they treated it more like an indie title?
I think that's part of the reason why Helldivers was successful. It was 40.
Mm-hmm.
It was cheaper from the get-go.
Yeah, more people tried, and then the hype around, like, the internet just did its thing with Helldivers. Mm-hmm. I've never played it, and I know I should be screaming for democracy, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just...
Drink some liberty. Just,
yeah, exactly. Johnny's saying the Rogue Prince of Persia looks cool. Yeah, and it, like, you know, that's... If it wasn't an Ubisoft game, would it be more appealing? That's what I'm like. That's what I kind of wonder. And if it was, if they're going to go the route, like, I understand they're probably looking at Metroid Dread and going, hey, maybe Prince of Persia has the same pull, but does it? What did it do?
Metroid like doesn't really even have a pull.
I mean, no, but it still went into the millions, right? Like, it's still, yeah, like, so
like 3 million
for what they were. I would imagine the development costs versus what they sold, they probably hit their margins and everybody was happy. I don't think that's the case for Ubisoft, but like, was the, like, what, like, I don't, they've got to be frustrated as a company going like, we literally, like, they're like surviving on Just Dance alone at this point. I think that's the only thing. Like, and even that has a monthly subscription, you know, but I can't imagine myself buying a pass for Ubisoft games. I don't know what I would play for $17 a month. I already pay for Game Pass, and that doesn't even really get touched.
And EA has their own thing as well. The only nice thing is that it's tied in with a little bits and pieces of it, I think, are tied in with Game Pass.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the gaming space has all tried to copy Game Pass a little bit, and all these developers that don't have as big of a library that you would hope for are still trying to charge what, $15 a month or whatever, say almost the same as Game Pass. And it's like, your titles are sporadic. They don't, they come with early access on Ubisoft or whatever. They come with early access, but it's like, that's not enough to warrant it. And it's, it's not, and I'd rather just buy the title outright. But I guess if they're pricing a game like Outlaws, $115 or whatever to get that early for all their cosmetic, and I don't even think you'd get all that stuff in the subscription model. I think you'd probably just get the base game and then early access or something. But that's me speaking uneducated about it. But speaking back to kind of games, how they're made and stuff, there's almost like multiple different versions of games. Like, you were talking about community based games. There's games that are built kind of that the streamers want to play and are good for viewership, community building. People can jump in with it, or they're playing alongside. They're kind of enjoying that experience with them. There's the single player, like Sony first party stuff that doesn't stream well. Like, people, I don't think a lot of people, they want to experience that for themselves. So the streamers don't play those games. If they do, they're not playing them on stream, but then a lot of streamers don't play games when they're not streaming, so maybe they aren't even playing them. And then there's all these live service games that are just so much, and then there's the indie games that are kind of sprinkled in there, and you feel like the only games that kind of get the limelight are those Sony first parties for just a flash in the pan for when they're out, and then kind of when we get a second wind about, like, Spider-Man was not profitable at selling 8 million copies or whatever it was, and making $300 million. And then the games that the streamers are playing, because that's just what it is. That's where the views are, and that's where the big companies want to try to put their money forward. And then you get the lightning in a bottle games like Helldivers and I think Turn-Based Dragon mentioned Content Warning, which was a free game on Steam for a little bit. And now they're starting to charge for it. You get community behind a game, and then it builds. And there's, I mean, Only Up was that a little while ago, and
Among Us,
yeah, Among Us was a pandemic.
They were ready to turn it off, and
well, they were getting ready to make a sequel, and then they just decided to pivot away from Fall Guys. Even Fall Guys was kind of a flash in the pan. Yeah. It was a long.
Among Us is getting a show,
right?
So, yeah. I guess like we've talked about this before is, you know, where's the direction of Nintendo when they think about all this? And we've talked about live service games and all of that, but do you think that they are concerned? I mean, Peach is still number one in Japan after 3 weeks. So
what's going to knock it off?
I mean, true. I don't know. I mean, like they're, I don't know what games are out right now.
I mean, they're not playing Sony games out there because the PlayStation 5, as you can see, is ginormous, mm-hmm. and they don't want it in their space. And Nintendo saw the success that the Vita had and monopolized on that with the console that they have now. And so Japan is what, like 80-90% Nintendo kind of only. And so if there's not third party stuff coming out that comes out on the Switch or even first party stuff for other developers, I mean, that's why we were talking last week about a Nintendo or an Xbox handheld. If they can do something that can break into that market and be independent, because what's the Sony one called now? Even
Portal.
It's reliant on having a PlayStation to stream off of. That doesn't really fit their model there. So if there can be an independent handheld, I don't know how well Steam Deck or anything is doing over in Japan, but like if another company can get something to get those bigger third party or first party for themselves, and then also the third party games that don't come to Switch on a handheld, it would do well over there. But like I feel like Peach is doing well in Japan due to lack of food on the table. There isn't anything else.
But like also, how much is it selling? Because even if it is a lack of food on the table, it's number one. So there must be a lot of people that were interested in that game, or it has been getting some press, you know, just from YouTubers or TikTok or whatever. It's catching people's attention. And that isn't a community game. That's not a live service game. I hear what you're saying. Like, there's really nothing else. But for it to be number one is kind of surprising. Yes, it's a Mario character and Under the Mushroom Kingdom. But it's 3 weeks in a row, that like, that's huge.
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
which I haven't checked the NPDs in a while. It may have finally fallen off the charts. You know, I don't know. But like, but I mean, we even saw like a big sale from Nintendo this week. And I don't know if these are sale prices or if they're staying there, but you can pick up Mario Kart and Odyssey and a bunch of games for $40 now. And it has people thinking like, is this like, are we getting to the, you know, the there's nothing
else behind out, a little
though.
Bit.
There we go. If the studios are going to try to dip their toes and compete with the indies, they're gonna have to drop their like they're gonna have to get their dev like their development costs and their pricing on point. You know, they just well, the fact they don't Spider-Man, have
the fact that Spider-Man's not profitable at 8 million copies sold.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah,
that is we are in a bubble that's not sustainable, mm-mm. and we're late or early 80s, late 70s kind of video game market crash kind of deal.
Well, and if you think about it, like if you think about the gaming communities and like, you know, PC Master Race and I'm on my Xbox and I'm on my PlayStation 5 and all that stuff, like what are these consoles are pulling their 4K 60, their 4K 120 regularly, that like it's not needing some day one patch or multiple patches down the road. Like you almost need to go PC at this point. Like, as much as some of those communities mock the Switch because they're like, oh, it's so underpowered, like they're not trying to do anything with the Switch, like, or they at least first party, don't get me wrong, like when they were trying Doom and all those things, like, albeit it, you could still play it, it was just like playing Clay Fighter. But when it comes to Nintendo's first party, other than, yeah, Peach didn't run like fantastic, but it's still completely playable. I mean, Mario Kart's screaming and looks amazing, and it's a Wii U title. You know, Odyssey, gorgeous, right? Luigi's Mansion, like, Luigi's Mansion did for the Switch what Resident Evil did for the GameCube back in the day, right? Like, Resident Evil made people stop and take notice, and Luigi's Mansion is very similar. And we're, in some cases, I think Nintendo fans are getting a better gaming experience on a way lesser machine, because at least we're getting constant frame rates on the first party stuff, right? Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm well aware of like the different patches that need to come out to make some of the, there was one recently that, like, you know, everybody, like, well, even Johnny in the Star Wars game that he was playing, mm-hmm. right? Like
the pop in.
But yeah. that was everywhere though. That was Steam and everything at that point. And again, it's like these companies want to release these games that don't work. The internet finds out too quickly. It's not like it used to be way back in the day where you could put something out and then, oh, once you bought it, you bought it. That's on you. Like, people will not purchase. And when you can go to Fortnite for free, you better be putting out something that's really going to be getting people's attention. And I think
we're on the verge of getting some attention from people though. Have you seen the Captain America 1943 trailer? Yeah. I thought it was a movie right when I saw those stills.
Oh yeah.
So like, Unreal Engine 5, or is that what it is?
It is. I believe it is.
Yeah. So stuff that's going to start coming out with that now, because we've had the subsequent years from developers getting to go back to their offices and not work from home, piece together games. I think the whole pandemic 4 years ago put a big just stopgap in progression for this new generation. And we might finally start seeing leaps forward here with Unreal 5.
But do you think with Spider-Man not being profitable at 8 million, that Captain America is going to pull numbers that can be profitable, you know? And if that, like, if Dead Space 2 is canceled, which I'm pretty certain it is, you know, like, gaming's in just such a strange place right now, and Nintendo is almost like an indie developer at this point, because they're putting out like these titles that, like, their system became the secondary system, but like games still play really well on it. You're not getting that bleeding edge stuff, but all the bleeding edge stuff is not working. Like, it doesn't come out working. And it's a frustrating, like, I feel bad for the people that are like in those different camps. And it's like, you know, I mean, I played Halo forever. That one took a while to get, like, and it wasn't necessarily that the gameplay was broken or bad or whatever. It was just that, like, you know, the progression for their battle pass and the way you leveled up and all that stuff was.
Well, even now, like, I'm enjoying the 20 level battle pass things, but like, they need to address something and get a proper season 6 or whatever it is to come out, because these bite-sized things are just kind of weird. I've been playing Halo, and it's been enough just to jump in, and you can get through the weekly stuff in an afternoon, like two hours of gameplay. It doesn't take that long. But like, speaking about profitability, like, Perfect Dark is never going to be profitable for Microsoft. Like, that their so-called quadruple A studio that they opened that has just floundered, and they've had to bring in, who'd they bring in? Was it Crystal Dynamic? It was game directors from somewhere else, and there was talk of harassment or something with those people that they brought in. Of like, it's just a whole mess over there for them being what is supposed to be their kind of shiny star first quadruple A studio that they can't. We saw a CG trailer, what, 3 years ago? Is that how long it's been now?
It's been a minute.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and that game is never going to be profitable with however long they've been doing that. And that's like, I think we keep beating a dead horse with Kill the Justice League, but like, that game was in development for like, what, 9 years, and then it just fell flat immediately. Like, that's not good. Like, that's a big loss. They can movies for less than that. I mean, like, and it's like, they just, WB has no problem just putting movies away that they have done. So the fact that they let that come out, like, that's almost more damage for the brand than it is worth the hassle that they're dealing with.
Nate said, do we think games have always come out broken? Think of the NES. How many of those games would be getting a day one patch? Like, if they had online connectivity, there's a WWF, like No Mercy, I think it is, that basically the first run had a bug that would delete your save file. And the second run, they patched it. And now those carts, like, if you can find, it's like, there's a certain serial number tied to it. They're worth like $600-$700. Like, they're worth a lot of money because they're, you know, collectors want to get a hold of those things. But you know, part of this conversation is also tied to like physical games, right? And like the statistics that we saw from a tweet this week were 5% of all game sales in 2023 physical, only 5%, and that's down from like 10% I think the year prior or something along those lines. Like,
Xbox was ahead of their time when they told us your games are, what was that with the Xbox One launch? I forget what they even said, but because they were talking about not grading in your games, and it was just going to be digital. And
yeah, well, and the thing is too, like you were mentioning Perfect Dark, and that Xbox is not in the place where they're like, yo, we need to move these copies. No, anybody can dip their toe in the water with Perfect Dark with Game Pass. Mm-hmm. You know, they have already set like a really good precedent for the way they're moving forward. And then they purchased all of the major studios that, like, even, you know, I'm sure they're making money from Fallout, the show that came out on Amazon, right? And I mean I've been having the Mario movie on in the background periodically, and that like it is also moving, like, that had to have helped with sales of games. I mean, we saw like what the Super Mario Brothers, the you new Super Mario up. Bros. U Deluxe is like, you know, it went way up. You know, Mario, like, as soon as kids saw Rainbow Road, they were like, can I do that? And parents were like, you can. And so, you know, it had to move some Mario Kart stuff. And not to mention the, you know, I mean, I'm drinking Capri Sun that has Mario Kart on it. Like, they are doing all these different things to keep the train moving. And it's not, and they said they would, right? I mean, they said, we're not just focusing on games. They've got the amusement parks, the movies, like
Lego,
you know, Legos. I mean, I'm sure Lego is loving their deals with Nintendo, especially with Animal Crossing right now. And I like Nintendo's approach to just the, you know, the system that's profitable, that's a little bit underpowered, has paid dividends. And they're still charging as much for a Switch OLED or more than you could go pick up a Series S.
Yep.
But I mean, you know, it just depends on where you're, you know, where you're gaming and how you enjoy it. But like, they're probably the reason. I mean, how many Xbox games did you buy physically, Crawler?
PlayStation and Xbox, I don't buy physically anymore. And the only
maybe a special edition.
I have the Melania statue for Elden Ring, so that, and then like God of War and Spider-Man both came with a download code. My statue editions, Last of Us Part Two with the Ellie statue. That's a PS4 game, so I have a disc for that. So like PlayStation, I have more physical stuff, but also it's mainly PS4 games that I have that are physical. And that was because I got the PS4 a little bit late and they were already in the bargain bin a little bit. So because PlayStation doesn't discount their stuff on their store as much as you can find just on the in Target or Best Buy or whatever. But Best Buy, whenever I go into Best Buy, I'm not like walking around Best Buy. I order it and it's there at pickup and I walk in and I get it and I leave. Like, that's it.
I don't know who's going to Best Buy anymore.
Like, yeah.
They're all the same. It's just basically digital codes for and a handful of games. And like, there's no more Amiibo to look at. There's not really collectibles or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I want to grab this chat from Kitty Kong is God. It says, my 3-year-old can't get enough of the Mario movie. She's probably watched it 1,000 times. No lie.
Like, my youngest was sick 1 week and I think she watched it. She just started watching it all weekend. Like, that's all she did.
And then another question from Kitty Kong says, let's say the Switch 2 is more powerful. What do you think the starting price for that? Like, I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think they go above 4. But I don't know what the components cost. Right. Cheesy, what do you think?
Kind of on 450. And wow. That's like that's the OLED price right now. I mean, it would be nice if they just went to 4.
350.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. All right. I'll say four.
Where are you buying your
you don't want to know. I gotta go talk to my guy.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, I mean, I imagine probably 400 is probably going to be, because, you know, it's going to depend where inflation and all that stuff is at too. Like, that's all, it's all a factor. So, but even like, what I asked this question,
Krimpus is saying, like, get a second job.
There we go. Yeah, two SKUs, 500 and 600. Like, and
nobody makes a console $600 anymore. Not after PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that was something. We're going to dig deeper into the like the physical stuff when Johnny's here next week. I'm glad we went as long as we did on what we did, so that we can get, because he's been all digital this generation for the most part. Right. And so, you know, like we will dig in further with that. But I mean, it, you know, do you walk into a Best Buy to buy an Xbox? You know, do you walk in and. Don't get me wrong. There are still plenty of people out there that will walk into Best Buy, go, hey, what's the best new game right now? You know, they're not living on Twitter. Their algorithms aren't all about gaming. They're not getting the news emails from these companies. They want to know what's the next COD, what's the next, like, what's the next, the new hotness. And they still, but like, that's slowly going to be going away. How do these companies continue marketing in some of these situations, right? Like, sometimes retail was just like, you just go and purchase it, but it
goes back to the very, that's why E3 is dead, because they're not selling to brick and mortar anymore.
And it goes back to the beginning of our conversation of like, we are probably getting to the point to where the generations that are coming behind us now that are starting to have disposable income and stuff, they're buying skins, not physical games, right? Or they're paying for, are they paying for Game Pass? You know, like, I'm just thinking about my kids. One of them's playing Destiny. Both of them are playing Fortnite. They're both playing Valorant. Like, one of them plays Monster Hunter periodically. He sent me a picture of his of a Switch with Monster Hunter on it, and he plays a little bit of Smash here and there. But like all of their friends, all you know, the biggest, I think one of the, I think the TikToker with the most subs on TikTok as far as like paying subscriptions, Fortnite. They're playing Fortnite. And where does gaming, where, like, I see Nintendo, we've talked about it the last few weeks with Mario Kart. Like, I would buy a battle pass all the time if they kept cool content coming in for that game. Costumes, you know, that 16-bit cart they did in Tour and all that kind of stuff, like where they get real creative and they get real Nintendo and they start adding different ramps and making tracks do different things and everything like that. I'm here for it only because it's going to keep, like, I play Fortnite because I enjoy the different, like, they get into the pop culture and it's like, yo, my nostalgia like kicks in and I'm like, I can play as Optimus Prime or the Turtles or Luke and Skywalker.
None of the stuff you pay for affects how you play.
Nope. They,
like, that's the biggest thing that needs to change with Mario Kart. If they were to adopt adding a ton of stuff in, normalize the, yep, the stats and let people play how they want to look and don't have it be pay to win at all. Like Tour was, where you get more items based on your build.
Well, and Tour was just character cart and glider. The wheels were all set and it was based on what track you were doing, how to pick that setup, you know? Yep. And that would be based on what items it would allow you to get to make the game even crazier. So yeah, I don't know. I see Kitty Kong said I'd pay $20 for Dixie Kong and Mario Kart. There you go. Nate said, don't say that out loud. So anyway, fun conversation tonight. Like it's just such an interesting time for gaming. And I feel for the people trying to make these decisions to like, that if you don't have that established brand that hasn't continually let people down like Nintendo does, where do you go? Like, where do you go from there? If, you know, Spider-Man again, 8 million sold and not profitable, that wouldn't even make, does 8 million even make Nintendo's top 10 for their,
no,
for their game sales?
Cause it's like 12, I think, is the top 10.
Yeah. And before we go too far, then I should have said this earlier, Pokemon did not run well. I was racking my brain. Cause I'm like, I know there is a first party game that did not run well. And I like, yeah,
that's technically first party.
Well, it's more like second party really, yeah. but still like made specifically for the Switch and like, you know, did not deliver. So it's not that they're completely free from that, but again, that game still, even in that state, the diehards are still going to pick it up, you know,
and they're still promoting it because that's all they had at PAX, right?
Yep. Yeah, not only promoting it at Nintendo's own booth, but at the promoting the competitive play. And TCG just did their big championship. It's going to be in Honolulu next. And it was just in Europe. They were tweeting it like first thing in the morning. And there, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of hype around that. Just a lot of people like, yo, I'm getting back into the card game right now. And I think people are looking for stuff to do with their not being a lot of new video games out there to play. Not that there isn't plenty to play, but.
When is that phone app supposed to come out with TCG? It's not full on TCG, but like,
I don't think they've said. It was just teased.
This is a weird year for gaming.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Silk Song can make it all better if it just drops.
Well, there you go. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for being here with us live, listening after the fact. We appreciate all of you so very much. And we will continue this conversation with getting into physical and digital more next week when Johnny's back. So with that, we'll catch you guys later. See ya.